Well, hello everyone. Recently, I've had more run-ins than usual with various people, especially over in America, people who are notable, let's just say, for their high verbal IQs. Now, in my experience, the people, I teach a course here called the Trivium, which looks at writing, it looks at logic, how to make logical arguments, and it looks at rhetoric. Now, in many ways, Logos is the path of the light, is the kind of true and honest but more difficult path, which I always try to utilize myself, facts and evidence. But there's also a dark side, which is rhetoric, which basically breaks all of those rules, plays dirty. And in my experience, the high verbal IQs never ever play a straight bat. They always play dirty, right? It is, I've been watching that show Cobra Kai. They're definitely of the strike first, no mercy mentality. They don't, they don't play fair like Mr. Miyagi, So I've been seeing a huge reemergence of late of not an argument, things that are not an argument. And in this video, I'm going to alert you to the five, what I see as the five most common tactics used in various arguments by the high verbal IQs. Okay. And I'm going to abstract this from any particular argument or any particular run-in I've had. These are just observations based on many years of being on the internet. And of course, everybody is intellectually lazy, everybody's emotional, everybody thinks fast rather than thinks slow. So it isn't only high verbal IQs that do this. Often very low IQ people use these tactics too. And the reason they use them is because they work. These are, even though they're completely illogical, even though they don't make any sense, they're utilized because the goal is persuasion. Okay. Now, I, trying to be a classier sort of guy, try to avoid all of these things. I try to always use logical arguments, reason, and evidence, facts and logic. I stick to that, even if it means, sometimes, taking slings and arrows and so on. I don't really care. I am not movable when it comes to the rhetoric. I teach the course, right? I am not moved by any of the tactics I'm about to show you ever, and I stick to my guns, like Obi-Wan Kenobi against Vader. Strike me down, Darth. because while they may sway the rhetorical tactics, why they may sway some part of the herd, I think the people who are true and honest, the people who are using their brains, they always appreciate the fact that you're kind of fighting the noble way and not using the dirty tactics. So anyway, without further ado, let us get into oh yes and I should note, the three parts of persuasion, really, logos, that is using logic, that is using reasoning. Then there's the pathos, the emotional appeals, blah blah blah. Again, I don't really see a lot of that. I see most of the, especially online, especially when you're dealing with the high verbal IQs I'm talking about, they go for this category here, the ethos, right? They want to attack your credibility, they want to attack your character, they want to try to get people off the scent, right, by focusing on, by redirecting things back towards the speaker themselves and try to discredit them in some way. Okay, and I would say that almost without exception, the high verbal IQs will do this. Okay, so. And the first one is, the pressing A on the controller, the simplest attack is just the ad hominem. That is where you attack the man rather than the argument. You lay out something, somebody just comes back will say, well, you're fat, or they'll pick some random thing that they want to attack about you, and they'll use that to try to bat away what you've said, or to try to move past what you've said by a flat attack. In my experience, those arguments are completely They're generally speaking ineffective. Okay, I mean they're done. This is the most common one, but those sort of flat, like, you know, calling you names or whatever, people just see through that, you know, most of the time. But the idea is that if you do it enough, if you always respond in that way, maybe you'll be able to program a certain response all the time. Okay. Turns out doesn't work, right? It doesn't really work. And most people most of the time will understand that. I'll give an example, right? Back when I had my various run-ins with the Groypers and so on, they would use these ad hominems all the time. Oh, you're brown, you're fat, blah, 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 all the time. But turns out I stuck to my guns, I stuck to reason and logic, and, you know, oh, all of a sudden their leader, Nick, was like, oh, well, this guy makes good stuff. He's worth listening to, okay? The complete inverse happened with their enemies, okay? And now they're the ones who are calling me fat or whatever. But bottom line is nobody really cares about those things, okay? They're just lines to throw out, okay? So the ad hominem, and the higher, the truly intelligent people, like the Ben Shapiros who I put on the front cover, they would not go to this because it's typically seen as a low blow. And most people, even though they don't do logic and, you know, they don't really understand how to argue because they were never been taught it. They never done the trivium by it now. They still understand that, you know, the basic insult isn't really moving the needle. Second one, and this is more cunning and a much, and this is one that a Ben Shapiro would go to. I see it. It's super common. Is rather than attacking directly some facet of that person by calling them names or whatever, you know, you smell, you're fat, whatever the insult is. Okay, you've got a big nose. You name it. You know, and if you're around long enough on the internet, you'll have seen them all. You know, I've been called everything under the sun. It's like water off a duck's back. You know, on a typical day, I'm called a communist, I'm called a fascist, I'm called fat, I'm called brown, I've been called Jewish, I've been called everything under the sun. I just don't care, right? I just don't care because I'm immune by at this point to all of those sorts of tactics. So then the next level, and this is much more insidious, and I think still people are susceptible to this one. I've got the picture of Freud there, is psychologizing. Liberals love to do this. The centrist liberal, Adam and Sitch are really big on doing this. The James Lindsays of this world is that they'll, rather than focusing on what you've said or rather than focusing on what the argument is, they try to go beneath that and try to figure out what is motivating this person, right? They psychologize. They move from text, what it is you've said, to subtext, what it is that they can fill in, right, that they think is motivating you, okay? And what this allows the person to do is basically to completely rewrite the character of the person who is arguing and to refocus things onto, well, what is motivating them, okay? Now, this shouldn't work. Like, once I point it out like this, it's obvious that this is bullshit, basically. I have a very low threshold tolerance for bullshit. I always shoot straight, as everybody knows, okay? But once people start doing this, they can get led down that path, and I've seen it dozens of times. Now, what I'll say about this and what I've noticed is that what you should do is a kind of Rorschach test for, like, whatever it is that the person doing the psychologizing projects onto the speaker actually reveals some aspect of their own psychology, okay? You know, and again, I've had this done to me dozens of times. Oh, I'm secretly working for this government. I'm secretly working for the Labour Party. I'm secretly working for Russia, secretly working for all sorts of nonsense. You know, I think this because I have ethnic resentment. I think this because of that. You know, secretly, this guy's a leftist, blah, 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 blah. You see it all the time, because they're shifting from what you've said, which is often, in my case, super clear, super obvious, super kind of straight, to what it is they in their own worldview can transmute, right? They can transmute it to something else. Extremely common tactic, very typical of high verbal IQs. And I mean, one, I try never to do this myself. And two, I would just say that I would dissuade anyone from kind of going along with the, oh, well, what's motivating this person line? Okay. Oh, he's really a grifter, right? That's another one that I see thrown out to try to discredit people in a way, because you're shifting it. Like, this person doesn't really believe what they're saying. They're doing it for some other reason. There's a subtext there. Okay. Always bullshit, in my experience. Third, manufacturing consensus. That is flooding the response zone. Here's your call center Indians. Here's your bots. Here's your... So an argument is taking place, and people are trying to figure out where they stand. So they start reading the comments, you know, and it's become an extremely common tactic to flood that zone, to try to create the illusion that things are going, you know, the other person's way, for example, or that this person has a lot of support, that, or, you know, it's backfired or something like that. And especially in the age of social media, this is called social proof. If you look at the Persuasion book by Cialdini, I think his name is, he talks about social proof as one of the strongest persuasion factors. Okay. Weak people, the Tory boys, are very persuaded by social proof, for example. You know, people look, well, what are other people saying? All right, well, a lot of other people say this, oh, I'll go with this. So that's why they use these tactics of the call center Indian, or, you know, there's that other meme of the certain special agents, you know, trying to flood the zone. That's why they do it, because social proof is a very big persuasion factor. Fourth, try to distract by ridicule. Turn the whole thing into a joke. Turn it into a shit show. Make it seem like drama. Make it seem like a joke. Something funny is happening. Try to take the sting out of it by making it humorous. Okay. And again, people respond to humor. They respond to emotion much more easily than they respond to reason, logic. They prefer to be unserious than serious. And so this kind of deflates the whole thing. And again, extremely common, you know, especially like super online people, they like to do that. Oh, well, you know, it was just a joke, bro. It was just a joke. Why are you being so serious? You know, why are you being so serious all the time? Oh, it's just the internet, man. It's just a joke, man. It's just a meme, man. And again, this is used a lot by the high verbal IQs to try to deflate, to try to redirect, to try to change the energy. Okay. And I'm not saying these tactics don't work. They do work. That's why people do them. The reason I'm putting this video out is to try to alert you to those tactics that people used, so that you don't fall prey to them, so that you are immune to them. Okay. Now, 95% of people who watch this video, by this time next week, won't be immune. They'll go back to being easily persuaded, because most people are fucking stupid. Okay. But for the 5% of you who can pay attention, for 5% of you who can learn, for 5% of you who can weaponize your autism, you can learn these things so that next time all of these things happen, you don't fall prey to them. Okay. And fifth and finally, and again, high verbal IQs absolutely love this one, is the red herring, focusing on a completely irrelevant detail to derail through redirecting to a red herring. Okay. And this could be something as insignificant as a spelling error, one particular fact that the person got wrong, or some, it's just a redirection to get the heat off. All right. And this particular image I found from Your Dictionary, where, okay, the thing you want to focus on is the burning house, right? But look at this fish, look at this other thing, you know? And again, super duper common tactic from the high verbal IQs, no matter what the topic is. Okay, they always try to redirect in this way. If you're interested in this, by the way, I have a course sale on at the moment, and my best-selling course, thousands of people have done it, is the Trivium. Writing and grammar is the first one. Logic is the second one. And then you take all the things you learn in the first two courses and you smash a hammer through them in the third course, which is rhetoric. And this stuff I'm talking to you, the dark side, the rhetoric, is what I'm talking about here. Maybe I should employ more rhetoric in my own stuff. I try not to, though. I try to stay on the good side, right? Because we're team good here and we're fighting against team evil. That's the way I see it. Anyway, pick up a course and I'll let Shore Jam play us out.
Sure. Sure, 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 sure. And so, sure.
Shore Jam.
Can you command a comma like Joseph Conrad?
Sure,
sure, sure, sure, sure, sure, and sure, Jan.
Are you magnificent in your mastery of marginalism like Murray Rothbard?
Sure,
sure, Jan.
Are you legendary in your logical leveling of lamentable loquacity?
Sure,
sure, Jan.
Come on down to the January sale at the Academic Agency. Promo code SHOREJAN for 25% off. All this January, I got more courses than the Queen had horses.
SHOREJAN.
I got better rates than Andrew Tate's had mates.
SHOREJAN.
I got better deals than Lizzo's had meals.
Sure.
SHOREJAN.
And so, sure, 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 and so, sure, sure.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.